wonder how the tired morning sky awaken my already open eyes to find a day I wouldn't mind.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 7 of the Trees Reach podcast, where the beards are getting longer, the toenail fungus is growing stronger.
Oh.
And if you think I'm speaking for anyone other than myself, well, you've never been wronger. Today we're going to be talking about track 7 on our album, Some Night You Will Hear Me Crowing, which is called Any Shade of Gold. I'd encourage you to pause this episode if you haven't heard it and go listen to it now. It's just a tight 3.5 minutes. But the song is a little bit of an odd trajectory. We have an intro and a verse, kind of a structure. There's no real chorus to this song, so it does a couple verses that build, and it goes into a guitar solo in a different key. We mess around in some other keys, and then we land back in the key of A where we started, but do like an extended sort of other section that's a little more open and fluid before ending the song in an unrelated cathartic jam featuring our boy John Fuller on trumpet. By way of history of this song, I was just telling the guys before we started the episode that I tend to think of this song as being a me song, but it's more of a Riley song as I got thinking about the individual parts. But the reason why I think of it as a me song is that it was a patchwork rescue effort on Riley's part to salvage a song that I had written a while back called Today Could Be. And, you know, so as we've said numerous times now, there came a point where we had this album recorded with a different drummer, but Luke joined the band and we were kind of rebranding and decided, hey, it might be worth getting Luke playing tracks on this album, which opened up opportunity to fix songs / add new songs / remove songs that we didn't like and that were never really working. And Today Could Be was one of those songs that made it for a while, and we had just kind of gotten used to it. We had grown deaf to it, and but it was, as we were being more critical on later listens through to figure out what needed to change, we thought, man, this song just does not hold up to what this album became. And it was only shortly before we re-recorded the drums that we decided that, so there was not a lot of time. But Riley, in a day, completely turned the song upside down and reworked it into what became Any Shade of Gold. So, Riley, I want to ask you, tell us a little bit about Today Could Be, what you heard in it, what it was lacking. I guess Luke too, you can jump in on that question too if you have any thoughts. But then Riley specifically, what was the reconfiguring of this song like? And tell the people details of amount of stuff that you changed, because it's really not, I wouldn't even consider it the same song. It's just there's some maybe chord progressions and slight melodic ideas that are the same.
Mm. Well, yeah.
Well, at least for the first half.
Yeah, I think as far as how I viewed the original song Today Could Be, it sounded more like the first draft of a song. And we kind of had left it like that. And so for me, it was more like, what's the second draft of this song, you know, before you submit for your final paper type thing. I didn't change the skeleton of the song, but I think the song was just kind of it sort of functioned like it sounded like a first draft.
That's a good way to put it.
That's how I experienced it. Luke, did you have any thoughts on that?
Whoops. Anytime I touch my camera, it falls. So
that's a cool feature. Is that new with the iPhone 11?
It's the new iPhone 11, yes.
That's cool, man.
Oops. Okay. No. No, I didn't know anything.
Great.
All right. So I guess I can talk about the kind of the process. It was late one night, and I think I was just, you know, mulling over different songs in the album, thinking about what our next moves were. And I think this was only like a month before we were going in to re-record all the drums.
Which would have put us at around what time of year and what year?
February 2017, because it was in March that we did the drums. And so I think I was sort of thinking like, okay, we're going to go and record the drums. So this is kind of like the only chance we'll get to, this is like the last weeks we have to change things about songs before we settle on arrangements with the drums. So I was kind of nervous about today could be, because it was kind of the last remaining one at that time, I think, that still sounded a little not up to date with the rest of the album. And fortunately, I was just suddenly had a bunch of ideas for a different lyrical, like all new lyrics, kind of expanding, making the melody a little more, the melody became more complex, but had more shape to it, and it sounded, I just changed it to something that sounded a little more lively. Mm-hmm. And wrote lyrics that had the same intention, like they kind of amounted to the same thing, like the tone and attitude of Today Could Be is the same as Any Shade of Gold. It's just a little more, I don't know what you'd call it, just the
it's just more poetic, and it's more there's some more satisfying syntax. Even the lyricism is more musical, I think.
All right.
Would be the best way to put it.
Well, thank you.
No, it wasn't a compliment. I was just stating facts. So
yeah, I changed the lyrics, and I like the riff that you hear like at the beginning of the song was just a chord progression before. And so that's the type of thing that it sounded like a draft, where to my ears, it was like, there needs to be some sort of singable melody here. Whereas before it was just a few chords opening the song. And then at the instrumental break where there's a guitar solo in the original version, it was the oohs were there more or less. Like, I think they were the same melody. Or something similar.
Yeah, similar is not the same.
But I altered the chords a little bit, and then wrote a guitar melody to be the singable melody over that, and so the ooze became background. Didn't change really much for the bridge, which is the part after the guitar solo.
Mm-hmm. In fact, that's still old lyrics too. Still, my dreams can't come a moment too soon.
Yep. Yeah,
forgot about that.
And then the end, I didn't change much, but I had previously, in previous years, written that the riff of the trumpets play, and that's kind of the one of the main defining points of the song is that riff at the end. I think
definitely.
So yeah, the song just needed some updates and some life breathe into it, and I just happened to have some good ideas just in time, just in the nick of time.
Yeah, man, and thank goodness you did. Like, seriously, it really revived this whole middle portion of disc one, having that as sort of a flagship moment, just a really memorable upbeat tune. I remember you making a demo of this song that I sang. Riley, confirm or deny. My final vocal take that ended up on the album is what I recorded over the demo version that had like GarageBand drums. I know that it was the first song we recorded. It was the first song we used to test the vocal mic that we ended up using for the for the rest of the album, the MXL.
The Dylan's vocal was recorded April 20th, 2017, and the drums were in March 2017.
Okay, so maybe we got that mic later, and we were testing it, and that was like a demo we did, but it sounded great, so we kept it. Well, at any rate, I remember you making a demo of this song, Riley, and it had... yeah, it had like a garage band drum part.
Yeah.
But I remember listening to that, and I think I had, I don't remember if it was me or you singing the melody. I think it was maybe you at first, but then we got me in there. Mm-hmm. And I remember taking that demo on the road, and like I showed it to some friends in February. I remember I had it and was playing it on a Bluetooth speaker at a like a camp I was playing at in like one of our cabins. I was showing it to our friend Travis. And it was the first time, it was one of the, so it was one of the last songs to get kind of a makeover, but it was one of the first songs to show that kind of like, oh, this is really promising. This could be a really good album, even in its demo form. So that was cool. Yeah, so this song is in the middle of what I consider a trio of songs, which would be Mist, that we looked at last time, Any Shade of Gold, and then Skies and Seas. And those three, that trio of songs is characterized by, you know, we're coming out of this first big dream song, which was like a catharsis or a revelation or somewhere in between or somewhere beyond. And now he has this state of mind where, you know, if Mist was kind of waking up from the dream and still sort of the half dream state, this is him walking out his door and seeing life in a new way, kind of seeing colors he's never seen before. And there is a pretty legitimate sense of rejuvenation. And that's what this whole middle of disc one is characterized by. And I think it finds its really its heart in Any Shade of Gold. So that's where we're at this point in the narrative of the album, which would be in stark contrast to what we were hearing in Glass Cages and kind of that first quadruplet of songs before the first dream. So, I want to listen to some tracks or listen to some stems. And as we do, remember some moments in the studio that were maybe exciting or difficult or interesting in one of those regards. What do you guys want to listen to?
We could start with the drums and bass and the groove if you guys wanted to. Yeah. Luke, you down to dive into that?
Sure.
Sweet. So yeah, let's like drop in on some drum and bass action. Do you want to start from the very beginning or one of the verses?
Let's start from when the drums come in.
Cool.
All right. So yeah, here's the drums at the very top of the chart.
Beautiful. I think on this song, I was using, I think I had talked about in a previous episode that Roger's kit, that we think it was Travis made the Instagram account for. And I think I was using that kit on this song. I'm going to be a total idiot if it's not the case. But if it was the case that I was using that Rogers kit, it was the wrong kit. It was just too big for like the sizes, the dimensions of the drums were just too big for what was needed. The wrong tool for the job, if you will.
What I think you're about to answer my question, which is what would you have rather heard there? What would you use now?
Yeah, I mean, the two kits I used on this album were that like 70s Rogers kit and my Ludwig Club Dates, the re mastered edition or whatever you want to call it.
The 2013 reissues or whatever that
was. Yeah, 2013 reissues. And I would have just used the Ludwig club dates because they're smaller dimensions and more of a punchy, duller sound, I guess. But the toms were really hard to tune on that kit, and I don't think I ever got them to sound very good. I didn't spend much time on it because we didn't necessarily have a ton of time. Anyway, didn't really quite get the drum sound that I was hoping for. But listening to that take, Dill, we sound pretty spot on. Like, I can feel the groove.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm done.
I was going to say, let's listen to it again. I guess I wasn't paying attention.
You guys are locked on, man.
I do remember recording bass for that intro specifically was so hard. Like, I was standing there because your natural inclination is like, okay, you want to sound like you're playing. So it's like, pretend like you're on stage, like move your body. And like, that'll be how it sounds good. But then it just never fit the pocket of the song. And it was, for whatever reason, it was so hard to find a bass part that would fit into that groove. And I remember like closing my eyes and standing completely still and just trying to convince my fingers to fall exactly on top of your beat. So I'm glad it came out sounding tight because
yeah,
I was worried about it. Luke, tell us a little bit about some of the beats you chose to do with this song. Riley, to steal your words from before we started rolling, there are a lot of drummers who would probably hear this and it would be, well, there are a lot more bad ideas for this song than there are good ideas, I think, when it comes to the drums. So like, what, tell us about your mindset, how you were navigating the groove changes and what you chose to sink into.
Yeah. The first half of the song, up until the Color Me Initiated Gold part, when it really starts getting going, I wanted to approach it with a minimalist mindset, because everything, there were a lot of other things that were holding the rhythmic figure, kind of giving you that swing feel, and I didn't want to overdo it, because I feel like swing can be overdone if like everything is hitting the one, two, three, and four, and it gets a little too swingy. You just walks into, oh, never mind. Yeah, I wanted like the other instrumentation to kind of like take over the swing, and we threw in a shaker in the verse. And then coming out into the Color Me Initiated Gold part is when I switch to the ride, and then I start doing the shuffle. I don't know if you can hear it very well in the Rick, could you give us the full Monty?
Yeah, which part?
Color Me. Can you put it in the mix with the rest of the tricks?
The mix with the tricks.
Yeah, so here's tricks. The actual mix song.
I feel like the just switching to the shuffle kind of helped just pick the bop back up, you know, just kind of helped you like bob your head a little bit more.
And talk about define a shuffle for our listeners if they don't know what it is and didn't pick up on the difference.
That's out of my pay grade. That's out of my not only pray gate, pray. Pray grade. It's also out of my pay grade. I don't know
how to explain
a shuffle.
Well, I'm just hearing it characterized by the snare carrying the swing. So, like, he goes from doing a ding, cat, ding, cat, ding, cat, ding, and you have like a ba-boom in the kick drum, which is like feeling the swung eighth notes. But then the snare by itself starts going all with his left hand while the right hand keeps riding the cymbal. And so it does give it a little bit more forward momentum. And it's a great touch, man.
Yeah, you know the
step. Thank you.
You know where you're shuffling once you can really hear the train rolling, they can hear the clinking of the tracks and all that. That's how you know the shuffle's in full swing.
Yeah.
Those shuffles. If you don't have a very visceral mental image of a train barreling towards you, then it's not a real shuffle.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, I don't know if the things I said actually wholly define what a shuffle is, but that's the element I was trying to draw.
But it's
out.
Yep, you wrapped it up well for the song.
Thanks.
Yeah. And then for the halftime thing, just letting the other instruments sing, you could kind of go to town if you were a drummer that likes to talk a little bit more on that part. But I thought it was just best to let the other instruments and the vocals kind of speak for that halftime.
And when he says halftime, he's talking about when things kind of open up and it goes in the guitar solo right here. So the snare comes twice as slow as it used to. Boy, I'm lacking a sophisticated term to talk about the how to describe exactly what's happening there. But you can hear it, you can feel it.
We're musicians.
But also the shuffle leaves, like we're not swinging anymore.
It goes to a straight
feel. In case you didn't notice that, in case all of a sudden you were like, oh, like jutted out of your little Carlton swing, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh,
you get knocked off your sled.
yeah, getting knocked off your sled. Also, I think that scream could be heard around the world. I heard it echo through Dylan's mic, I think, and then it probably just echoed through Riley's mic. So,
Luke, can I close your door and maybe reveal a secret to some people?
No, I'll close my door.
Oh.
Dude, I'm literally right next to it.
Oh, I just heard your door close in my mic, which means Luke and I are in the same house. We're in the same house.
Secret's house.
That's going to be the title.
He's like right past that wall. Anyway. Right.
Well, let's talk about some more stuff that's going on in these stems.
Show them the Rhodes doubling the guitar in the intro. That's probably something that no one has ever noticed. Cool.
Yeah, so I got a little crafty in this guitar intro. Well, it's once the band comes in, but I wanted the melody of what I'm playing on the guitar to stand out more. And I'm playing in such a way that I'm playing the chords and the melody of a riff, which is like a kind of a common technique on guitar. But in order to really solidify what the melody is, I doubled it with a electric piano sound called a Rhodes. So here it is without the doubling. And here it is with the doubling. So I don't know if you'll actually really be able to hear it, but this is it on its own. And that's just in there for reinforcement. And I think it helps bring that to the forefront in that intro there. There is a cool little bit later in the verse where I do a little run thing that you probably never noticed. So here's another little nugget. Right.
Wonder how the tired morning,
which harmonizes with the melody the guitar plays. Just a fun little thing. Just cool.
Can you play that part on its own?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Yep. It
takes a while to get out of there. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good touch, Riley. It's there's a lot of things that you end up having to think about when you get into the studio and a part of a song just isn't quite feeling right or whatever, like you thought it would. Sometimes, unfortunately, you can't just like play the song and it sounds like it ought to. There are these little sweeteners you kind of have to add that are more felt than heard. So that definitely falls into that category.
Speaking of felt or heard, something that is felt and heard is the totally sick organ that comes in midway through. Get a load of this. I'm if you haven't noticed this before, it'll be your favorite part of the song now. Yeah. Is that a scoop and serve? Is that technically a scoop and serve, or is that just like a twirl?
No, it's not a scoop and serve. It's like a I think of that as like a spankin' Winnie.
Oh.
I don't know if I can say that. It's no, that's not the best term.
I hear it as like a flail and pocket. Like you flail out.
Oh, it's like you're throwing your piece of dough up in the air, and then for some reason you put it in a ball, then put that ball in your pocket.
Yeah.
That's what that sounds like.
Because at the end it comes back down and there's definitely a pocketing motion, you're definitely stashing it away for later at the end there.
Yeah. The reason I said spankin' Winnie, though it sounds more inappropriate than it is, but I was thinking, like, after it comes down from the and it goes, it has a little bit of like a, you kind of like, woohoo, you know? So that's, it's like spankin' Winnie.
As nice. Opposed to
like right. Spankin' me, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's listen to it again. Let's let the audience decide what they think the appropriate two verb phrases to describe this organ part.
Wait, keep listening to it for when it opens up into that B section.
Oh yeah, it gets yeah.
Hallelujah.
That's church right there.
That's so good.
Yeah, that might be Corey Henry playing that organ.
Corey Henry could've does play me. E chords.
I bet he knows how to play an E chord.
I would bet Corey Henry's good enough. He probably knows how to play an E chord.
You know, I'd wait.
Oh,
he's played
no.
E chords, A chords, maybe even B chords too.
What have I done?
To rewind. The terms scoop and serve, spank and Winnie, toss and pocket, or whatever Rick said, are very real music theory terms, not arbitrary descriptors that we make up to describe how licks make us feel.
Yes. But no, Dylan is lying. They are 100% made up.
There's no way that playing that song by the Midnight would fall under the category of review if we played it on this podcast. That one lick that the saxophone does where scoop and serve was derived.
Oh, but the band The Midnight. Gotcha.
Jason by The Midnight. So while we won't risk playing the song Jason by the band The Midnight, we can tell you that if you go and listen to it, there's a saxophone solo, and at around the, what was it, Luke, 3 minutes, 45 seconds?
3 minutes 45 seconds.
There's a lick in there that you can't miss. It's a great music. It's more than a lick. It's like a big extended musical phrase. But the way that he comes out of it and sticks the landing is where we got the term scoop and serve, because it feels like it's such a solid ending to that sentence that he's singing on the saxophone. It feels like he just scooped your ice cream, gave it to you. Boom. And it was like the coolest thing you've ever. We're into it. It's nothing like super special, but it's just a good.
No, it's really like, special, Dylan.
Well, it's not like virtuosic playing, but it's musical playing. Oh, at its finest. Oh, that's the way to put it. Yeah.
And if you ever heard the song, you should just listen to the whole
song. Listen to the whole song. So that, it's so good.
When you get to the saxophone solo, it makes it all worth it. Listening to the saxophone solo alone is fine. But like, you got to build up to that moment. You got to let yourself get there and then experience the catharsis of that saxophone solo. It's like,
So good.
It's what the 80s wanted to be in the 80s.
Yeah. This song does the 80s better than the 80s did.
Hey, 80s.
Okay. So we listened to some guitar. We listened to drums and bass. We listened to that organ bit. Maybe we talk about those trumpets at the end and listen to those.
Yeah. Yeah, we certainly should do that. As with... other trumpets recorded on this album. This was done by John Fuller. Great guy, fantastic trumpet player.
Let's go, John.
Star of the Trees Reach podcast. Inadvertently. No. So, yeah, this is kind of the exclamation point at the end of the song. And just a fun little riff that I wrote and harmonized for trumpet. At different times, playing this song, even back when it was Today Could Be, we had arranged it for trumpet and saxophone when we had Casper and Hank playing it. We've done it with one trumpet with Josh Johnson at that one show.
Oh, yeah.
So this riff has been around the block. But you can't miss it. This is what it sounds like. Should I play with the whole song or isolated?
Isolate them.
Yeah. I have a little bit of delay on them just for sauce, so
okay.
Have fun.
Something that I love about having other musicians play on our stuff is that they come up with ideas that we wouldn't have. So he does did he call it a doit when he does and then he falls back into it. He like shoots up really quick. So that was his idea because he just heard that and wanted to, and we're like, sure. And then the other one was on the second time through. He does a little dip to just make it more saucy and like it. I love listening to John ham it up at the end there. It's so good.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, he really brought that to life. But it's a great part too, Rick. I remember when you first played it for me, it reminded me of Jacksonville by Sufjan Stevens.
Yeah, I think that was definitely an inspiration. For sure.
Yeah, go listen to Jacksonville by Sufjan Stevens. Another great track.
And speaking of this trumpet part, Dylan, do you want to tell them about the cool show we got to play with Soul Sherpa?
Yeah. So our friends here in town, Soul Sherpa, a great funk soul band, did this project called the Corridor Record Project, where they rented out the Angler Theater and put on like a 2.5 hour show or so of just all local artists that they knew and wanted to collaborate with. And the idea is that Soul Sherpa was kind of the house band of the night, and they kept having additional people on, and with some Soulshare platoons in between that just they would do. But their idea was take one song that you've written and we'll work together to do an arrangement with this big, like, 9-piece funk band or whatever. And so we decided we wanted to do Any Shade of Gold. And so we did. And it was a cool, opportunity because, I remember, Riley, you said to me, when you were writing the guitar parts for this song, you said in your head, like, you were kind of thinking of them as horn parts in a big band context, mm-hmm. with the kind of harmony that they were doing. So we thought, yeah, like, we have 4 horn players here. Let's just make that happen.
Yeah.
So we're going to link to that video. It's probably in the YouTube description if you want to go there. It's a Facebook video and it's a archived live stream. So you'll have to skip to the 1 hour, 27 minute.
I think it's mark, like, right? 1 hour, 26 when he's introducing us.
Yeah. But it was super fun. You'll see I think we had 2 rehearsals to repair the whole thing. And so, it was a ton of fun. And some of it came out really great and some of it is a little chaotic, and it was
that's
a blast.
The way she goes.
Yeah, that's the way she goes, man. It was so fun, and clearly you can see we're having a good time.
It was one of the most fun show experiences I've ever had.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that they had the common sense to put that together. Well, yep. The common sense and then the hard work to put that together, because I can't imagine
how much
work those guys and gal did to not only set up that show, but like learn all those songs and
play them from memory, not having really
awesome stuff.
Yeah, that was cool, because I ended up playing keyboard with Soul Sherpa a little while later for a few months, kind of in the interim after one of their guys quit. So that was a good establishment of a relationship there. While you're watching that video, go like Soul Sherpa, follow him on Facebook and follow him on Instagram. And hopefully we can, as soon as it's safe, get back to an awesome explosive show season. I can't wait. I'm itching to play shows for you guys. And I know that Soul Sherpa is too. So hopefully we can make that happen. Anything else on this song, guys, before we say good day?
I ain't got nothing.
Cool. I ain't got nothing either.
Well, hey, thanks for joining us. Hope you've enjoyed episode 7 of the Trees Reach podcast. Join us for episode 8 in a couple weeks, where we're going to talk about skies and seas. And don't forget to wash your hands.
Wash your hands.
Wash your hands. Good night.
Good night.